Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening. It's estimated that half of all Americans take a health supplement every day, from fish oil to multivitamins to diet pills. The booming $30 billion plus industry says these products can make you healthier. But Supplements and Safety, a new frontline investigation with the New York Times and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, raises some troubling questions. It's premiering tonight on SDPB TV at 9 p.m. Central. We are joined today by Frontline director and producer Neil Dougherty. Neil, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Good morning. Thank you, Lori.
So I'm wondering, first off, why are supplements so popular? What's the big draw?
Yes, it's really, it's interesting, isn't it? I think it's our quest for magic in a pill. I mean, it's a quest for long life, a quest for health, and it's a hope that you can do it by taking a pill, I think. I mean, that seems to be what's drawing people to it. They're also marketed very successfully.
Yeah.
And it really has exploded in recent years. Certainly recent decades, and I don't know that anyone has a full answer to that other than our desire to live longer.
So give me an idea of regulations and how a supplement or a vitamin is regulated in contrast with how a pharmaceutical drug is regulated.
Yes, well, that I must say that was the thing that surprised me most when I started looking at this, was that supplements really are very poorly regulated. And the main thing is, you can put a supplement on the market without having to prove either that it's safe or that it's effective. And that's, of course, in stark contrast to the possibly $1 billion you would have to spend to put a pharmaceutical drug or even an aspirin on the shelves. Mm-hmm. And that all came about in around 1993. The supplement industry lobbied Congress. The FDA were trying to regulate them and wanted to bring in some scientific standards to their claims. And there was a large lobby in Congress. Senator Orrin Hatch led the way, and the Dietary Health and Education Supplements Act was passed, which exempts the industry from having to prove safety or efficacy.
So tell me more about that lobbying effort. Why was it so successful? What sort of things did the industry do to ensure a powerful lobby at that time?
Well, we interviewed Dan Hurley, who wrote the book Natural Causes, which catalogs these events. And as he tells it, David Kessler is the FDA commissioner at the time trying to regulate the supplements. And there's a prominent supplement manufacturer called Ray Kessler, no relation, who's stalking the halls of Congress and trying to make sure nothing happens. And what they did was they launched a very effective media campaign with Hollywood stars explaining. I think one of the ads on television had stormtroopers raiding the house and taking away the supplements or the vitamin C of various Hollywood stars. So that proved to be very effective because, of course, it was an issue of choice. I mean, it was presented as an issue of choice rather than safety.
So is this an industry that can be trusted?
Well, I would say for consumers there's a real problem. I don't think you can possibly at this stage know what is in the bottle that you're buying. Every independent survey of these that's been done, and in particular a couple in recent, the last couple of years, have shown that anything from, in one case, 30%, so a third, one in three were outright fakes, so what was in the bottle did not correspond to what was on the label. In that study, they also found 60% also had ingredients that weren't on the label. It may have had the echinacea, but it also had peanuts or whatever else that wasn't on the label. So then the Attorney General of New York, that first study was done in Canada at a university. They took out 44 supplements from the store shelves, and that's what they found. One in three were fake. The Attorney General of New York then did a similar study and found that only 21%, I think, had the DNA of what they were advertising on the label. Similar studies have been done elsewhere.
When you give me numbers like that, 1 in 3 or only 20% have what's... That sounds intentional then. That doesn't sound like an accidental thing. Are we talking about outright fraud here, or are we talking about just poor management and manufacturing?
I think some of it will be outright fraud, but not necessarily on the part of the companies putting the label on. What I think has happened is a huge amount of these supplements, of these herbs and so on, come from China or India. And basically, I'm told by people in the industry that it's been a scourge on them, because the Chinese in particular, I'm told, if they don't have the salt palmetto, which doesn't actually grow in China, so it's unlikely they would, however, they seem to supply it, then what they'll supply is, in one case, chopped up house plants, and then they'll synthesize the active ingredient of salt palmetto and put it into the plants, right, or into the consignment. So when it gets to the back door of the factory in Canada or the U.S. and they're bottling it, they may do a lab test and it may show up as salt palmetto, but it's not. And certainly a couple of the labs I talked to said this was a real problem for them. So I think what's happening is there just hasn't been enough scrutiny of this, both from regulators and even from the companies themselves. The good news is that at the University of Guelph in Canada, they've developed a technique, DNA barcoding, and that I think is going to become affordable and viable for all of the companies, and that will allow them to test everything coming in the factory, and I think that will solve that problem for the companies that want it solved, and I think there are a lot in the industry who do want it solved.
So how much damage can be done if the problem isn't solved? What kind of stories are we hearing about individuals taking supplements that have caused harm?
Well, I think there's several examples of that. In the film, we have a couple of the extreme examples of people. I mean, one company was making a vitamin B complex. They were having it made in a small plant that was also making male enhancement pills. It looks like they didn't clean out the hopper. And so people taking vitamin B pills were subjected to two of them were illegal anabolic steroids. Mm. And this had terrible effect on the woman in particular. I mean, loss of hair, bleeding scales, and altering sex organs. I mean, it was really a dreadful episode. It came about just because, you know, no one was really checking sufficiently on this plant, and because the entry level to get into this business is so low, it seems. The other end of the other problem is any of the dietary pills and the bulk up or weight, you know, steroid and pill. Well, they're presented as, you know, bodybuilding pills and weight loss pills, sexual enhancement. All of that end of the industry is very suspect, I would say, in light of everything we've discovered. So I would say the other thing that's happened, though, is that our use of these pills, these supplements in general, has become untethered to the science, so that even with vitamin D, vitamin E, multivitamins, it looks like we're just taking too many. Mm-hmm. And science is now saying that you can have too many antioxidants, and that can actually do damage and even leave you at greater risk. Or, when I say greater, I mean it can increase your risk of cancer and heart disease in some cases. So that, and I think the best way to explain that is where you want to be taking, according to the doctors we interviewed, you want to be taking a multivitamin where the dosage of each of the nutrients is around the daily recommended dose. But some of these multivitamins are actually megavitamins. They actually have sometimes three times the amount of vitamin C you need, or so on.
So when there are problems, especially some of the more egregious problems that you mentioned with people getting actively ill, is there a reporting system? Does the FDA have someone that you can call to find out that this doesn't happen to other consumers?
Well, we found this. I must say we did find that in the examples we used. We found it was... The FDA did act, but in both cases that we look at, the parties concerned were considered the FDA very slow. In one case, they said glacial in their response, and this was a case of the anabolic steroid. And there was also a liver outbreak in Hawaii where the doctors were found that the FDA response to be tardy. The FDA is hampered by the law. The FDA can't actually, by law, do anything for these supplements pre-market. They have to wait for a problem before they can act. And then, of course, what that's led to, I think, is they're not that well-resourced on the supplement side. They have a division that I think has 20, 25, 26 posts to cover this whole area. It's not really sufficient, I don't think. So you can see why they might not be as quick off the mark.
So what's the takeaway for consumers then? Throw everything in your medicine cabinet away or search for a specific company? What happens next for people who are concerned?
Well, I think caution is certainly required. I think if you're taking vitamin tablets, you should look for a label that has a third-party certification that's certifying what's in the bottle, what's on the label is in the bottle. The best ones of those are USP Labs and NSF, and there'll be a new one, True ID, coming out of Canada soon, and some of the companies are already buying into this now. So looking for third-party certification on the bottle would be important. Not taking anything that's mega doses, just what's no more than the recommended daily allowance, I would say, and generally eating better food or eating food. If you're eating real food, you're probably doing okay. I was very struck by one doctor who told me, how many oranges do you have to eat to prevent scurvy? One every 9 months.
Oh, wow.
So, no, we don't need these mega doses. We need, and when you take your vitamins and food, you're getting everything else with it.
Neil Dougherty, thank you so much for all the information that you've given us today. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
Supplements and Safety airs tonight on SDPB TV at 9 p.m. Central. You can get the full story there. That's our Dakota Midday for today. We hope that it served you. I'd like to thank our guests, Neil Dougherty, Jennifer Jones, and Kevin Cole. As always, thank you to Steve Zwemke and Chris Lawfrey. Tomorrow on Midday, the Dakota Political Junkies arrive with updates and insight on the state's political headlines and a conversation with singer Jennifer Keith. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lori Walsh. Meet me here tomorrow at noon Central, 11 Mountain. Thanks for listening.